The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
All right, here we go. Welcome to a Tuesday. It's not Super Tuesday. It's sort of like Mini Tuesday. Six states going to the polls, and it's frankly do or die for Bernie Sanders. I hate it. I hate what we've come to. I hate that it all comes down to today, but frankly, it does. What we've witnessed over the last couple of weeks is astounding. And while it may not be the Democratic Party establishment coming together, maybe they weren't pressured into coming together to keep Bernie Sanders from getting the nomination, but it was some sort of unspoken rule. The fact that people like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris rallied around literally with Joe Biden against Bernie Sanders is reprehensible. Sickening, stomach turning, sickening. It really is. When you look at Joe Biden's history and you look at Bernie Sanders' history, it's shockingly sickening. And I'm just kind of disgusted. I really am. I'm not claiming it was fixed. I'm not claiming anyone was coerced into doing something they shouldn't have done. I'm saying this was a snowball that just spun out of control. And it's fear. It's people's fear that are getting them to do the wrong thing, frankly, and could make us wind up with another term of Donald Trump, which could bring about the end of life as we know it. And no, I'm not exaggerating, because look at what this man has done since the coronavirus began. He has single-handedly, because of his policies and his fear of being exposed for the fraud he is, his lack of safeguards, his lack of a fucking brain, he has endangered each and every one of us. It's his fault that this fucking virus is spreading around this country, because he eliminated the department within the Department of Health and Human Services that was responsible for keeping a pandemic at bay. He eliminated it 2 years ago.
Because why should I pay for somebody to sit around and do nothing? We can just bring it back in when necessary. No, you can't.
And that's why we're in this mess today. God damn it. And Biden? Seriously? Joe Biden? That's who you're rallying around? Oh, my God. All right. Before I completely lose it, and believe me, I have over the last couple of days. So let's turn to Stephen Colbert, because he's really good at making me laugh. And this one's funny.
The Grand Princess cruise ship has been denied docking in California at the order of the governor. Officials are awaiting test results for 21 passengers and crew members aboard that ship.
Corona. Exciting and new. Come aboard. It's infecting you, Corona. Transmits with the cough. Once you board, we won't let you off.
Oh, sad but true.
The bug boat promises illness for everyone. The bug boat. Course for contagion, you're stuck in a quarantine. Corona, Captain Trump will ignore. But on the boat, It's shrimp and virus galore.
Oh, yeah.
It's bud, a boat filled with viral bugs.
From The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, The Bug Boat. I asked rhetorically on Twitter the other day why anyone would go on a cruise. If I go on a vacation and I'm staying at a hotel, I would like to be able to leave the hotel and explore the place where I'm visiting. A cruise is a floating hotel. You're stuck. You can't get out. That was funny. So thank you, Stephen Colbert. That's about all that was funny. So I watched last night Lawrence O'Donnell's interview with Joe Biden. Oh, my God. And the reason I did is because Lawrence O'Donnell is coming on this program tomorrow. You might recall it was a couple of weeks ago. I sort of got into it with him on Twitter, as I want to do, because I called him out because Lawrence O'Donnell has made no secret of the fact. Well, let me rephrase that. Lawrence O'Donnell has declared himself a socialist on many occasions on television. He says, he proclaims, I am not a liberal. I am not a progressive. I am a socialist, claiming to be further to the left than us mere liberals and progressives. So my question is, if he is a self-proclaimed socialist, why is he so dour when it comes to Bernie Sanders? Why does he toe the Comcast line when it comes to Bernie Sanders? And why is he carrying water for Joe Biden? So I guess I'll get to ask him those questions in person, well, on the phone, tomorrow on this very program. He is set to call in live. I offered to tape it at his convenience the last I heard, and his assistant emails me late at night. So I was conversing with her via email last night at about midnight, and he is going to be calling in tomorrow, Wednesday, the 11th of March, at about 3:30 Eastern during the live program. So I have not been watching much MSNBC lately, frankly, for my own mental health, as for many other reasons. And but I started taping Lawrence O'Donnell's show, The Last Word, so that I know what I'm talking about when I do interview him tomorrow. And I got to tell you, I'm going to do my best. You know me. If you, the regular listeners and viewers of this program, you know me. And I tend to, I'm a passionate woman. I tend to fly off the handle kind of easily. I let my emotions get the best of me. I am going to do my best to stay calm, cool, and collected tomorrow. And have a reasonable conversation with him. What I've learned is Lawrence O'Donnell is also a Scorpio. I'm a November 4th baby. He's November 7th. So we've got a few things in common, and the passion goes with it. Look, when Lawrence O'Donnell began on MSNBC, when he took over and started the show, The Last Word, I couldn't watch him because I always thought he was so rude to his guests. I think we've got some things in common in our, you know, interviewing styles. I will treat him courteously. There will be a method to my madness, though, and I'm going to call him out for what he believes and his treatment of Bernie Sanders, and I want to know why the disconnect. So anyway, that is your invitation to join us tomorrow as Lawrence O'Donnell will be my guest. Now, tomorrow will be an interesting day because tonight we will get the results from today's mini Tuesday elections, where the voters go to the polls in Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, and Washington State. Michigan, it's up to you. Michigan must come out in force for Bernie Sanders. Now, 4 years ago, the polls showed what they're showing now, which has Bernie down by about 20 points. But 4 years ago, the polls had the same thing. They had Bernie down by about 20 points to Hillary Clinton, but he blew her out. He won big. So the same thing can happen now. Now, in dueling rallies yesterday, Joe Biden brought out, I was going to say something. I don't want to get into the race card here. So I'll just state it plainly without the commentary that's floating through my head. Joe Biden brought out Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, who were very, very, very critical of him during the debates, gotta say. But they both endorsed him for whatever reason I can't figure out, though I wouldn't be surprised to see Kamala Harris named Joe Biden's running mate. I have a feeling that might have been the deal cut there. And Cory Booker, I have no idea what he's getting in return for his endorsement. Something, I'm sure. And but the Reverend Jesse Jackson came out and endorsed Bernie Sanders. And frankly, I'm surprised he didn't do it sooner. But I think his endorsement will help in Michigan. I only spoke with Jesse Jackson once. And, I used to be Randy Rhoads' regular guest host during her time at Premier Radio Networks. Premier is the syndication arm of the company formerly known as Clear Channel, now iHeartMedia. I'm sorry, iHeartMedia, but you know it's iHeartMedia. Or I Hate Media, whichever floats your boat. Anyway, so I'm guest hosting for Randy Rhoads one day, and I get a call, and the screener says, and the calls were screened out of Los Angeles. We did the show out of Palm Beach. And so the screener said, Jesse Jackson online, whatever. I'm like, really? And I punched it in. And one thing I could say about Jesse Jackson is his voice is very distinctive, and you know it when you hear it. And sure enough, it was Jesse Jackson, and he was listening. And this was when we still had progressive talk stations on the air around the country. And he was listening, I guess, to then KTLK in Los Angeles. And he was listening to the discussion, and something I said prompted him to call in, and we had a wonderful conversation. And I was just really honored that Jesse Jackson called in. Well, back in, I'm so bad at history and years, so forgive me, but back in the day when Jesse Jackson ran for president, Bernie Sanders endorsed him. And for those, you know, black activists who's like, but what's Bernie done for me lately? You know, it wasn't enough that he got arrested in Chicago, you know, protesting. It wasn't enough that he fought for civil rights when the Civil Rights Act was being debated. It wasn't enough that he, you know, was at the March on Washington. It wasn't enough for some young African-Americans are with us. It's the older African-Americans who's like, what's Bernie done for me lately? You know, it wasn't enough that he endorsed Jesse Jackson back in the day, as they say. I don't know what they want, but nothing's enough, I guess, for some of the older Southern blacks. But that I said I wasn't going to get into the race thing. And I have no standing there, so forget it. Forget I said anything. It's not my place. All I can do is wonder why the young people have not materialized at the polling places. So today is my day to beg you, if you are 18 years old and you go to the rallies and you have a Bernie Sanders bumper sticker on your car and you say, not me, us, what the fuck are you doing? Get out and vote! Because otherwise, you know, it's a no-brainer. Obviously, I'm going to push the button to vote for whoever is running against Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is an existential threat to, you know, human life on the planet. But Joe Biden? Did you hear what Joe Biden did in, do I have it here? Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's right here. So Joe Biden is in Michigan today. And he's at an auto plant. I forget what company it is, but, you know, there's only a couple of them left. And so an auto worker says to him, you're against the Second Amendment. You're trying to take away my guns. So what does Joe Biden do? He tells him he's full of shit. Listen to this.
You are actively trying to diminish the Second Amendment, right?
You're full of shit.
You're full of shit.
Now, go to shush.
Okay, it's really hard to hear it. There is a video that I didn't pull. I should have, because it has the subtitles. But you hear Joe Biden say, you're full of shit. Now, can I just say something? Joe Biden has done this time and time again. He calls voters liars. He uses horrible pejoratives at them, called one man fat, called a woman an ugly, lying pony face something. I mean, he calls them names. He uses, now I'll curse up a storm. I've got a potty mouth, but I'm sorry. I really don't want that from my presidential candidate. Certainly not from my president. Joe Biden does it a lot. He's lowering himself to Donald Trump's level. Bernie Sanders doesn't do that. I just thought I'd point that out. I don't want a presidential candidate telling somebody who disagrees with him that he's full of shit. It's not presidential and it's not okay. Anyway. Yes, so the guy, maybe the guy was full of shit, but it's not presidential for the candidate to say to somebody, you're full of shit, and to turn his back on him and walk away. It's like this guy, this was in December, a voter in Iowa calling Joe Biden out on the whole Hunter Biden Burisma thing. And listen to how Joe Biden reacted to him.
We all know Trump has been messing around in the Ukraine over there,
yeah,
holding their
yeah
foreign aid for them to come up with, saying they're going to investigate you. We know all about that. And he's no backbone, we know that for that. But you, on the other hand, that's your son over there. He get a job and work for a gas company. But
right.
He had no experience with gas.
He had no experience with the gas company, right.
In order to get access to the public, for the president.
So right.
You're selling access to the president.
You're selling access to the president.
So
you're a damn liar, man. That's
and
not
so,
true.
So Joe Biden says, you're a damn liar, man. That's just not true. And then he goes on, you'll hear in a second, he's like, no one ever said that. Yeah, they have.
And no one has ever said that? No
yeah, they have.
I've seen it on the TV.
You've seen it on the TV.
Many people have said that, not only from Trump. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that you did this because you're a corrupt individual. I'm saying that this looks really bad. You're the vice president of the United States, and your son is profitizing off of your position. It's not okay. I get he's a lawyer, but he wasn't, he had no qualifications to be on the board of a natural gas company in Ukraine. The only qualification he had was the fact that Joe Biden, his father, was the vice president of the United States. And for Joe Biden to say, no one has ever suggested that, is a lie. You're lying, man.
I know you do. And by the way, that's why I'm not sedentary. I don't like it up and no, let him go. Let him go. Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know.
Oh, you know more than most
done.
People.
That's why
really?
I'm running. And you want to check my shape on, let's do push-ups together, man.
And that's where he goes to, let's do push-ups together, man. Really? And he continues.
Hey, let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take my feet.
Let's do push-ups. And then this is the same guy who a number of times suggested that he take Donald Trump out back so he can beat his ass. Are you fucking kidding me? We have enough of that with Donald Trump. I'm sorry. And I have all these idiots yelling that Bernie Sanders is yells. This guy is an animal. This guy doesn't understand courtesy. This guy doesn't understand how to have a civilized debate. He has to call names. He has to curse at voters. He has to challenge a constituent to a push-up contest. God help us all. And I don't believe in God. We're fucked. We are so fucked. And that's where my head's at today. So get out and vote. Because if you don't, that's what we wind up with. Fuck us all. God damn it. Gotta Laugh is here today. It's Tuesday. So let's get the news. And we'll be right back with Gotta Laugh next. Yeah, I told you I'm not in a good mood today. I'll be right back.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Worries about coronavirus and the way the Trump administration is handling it, or not handling it, propelled the Dow Jones Industrial Average to more massive losses on Monday, closing down a record-breaking 2,014 points. Nearly 8% after trading was temporarily halted in the morning due to the severity of the slide. Adding to the fears from the virus was the oil wars between Russia and Saudi Arabia. And obviously, shell-shocked Donald Trump stood at the podium in the White House briefing room for a few minutes Monday evening, where he said he'll propose a temporary payroll tax cut and paid leave for hourly employees unable to work due to the coronavirus. The notoriously germophobic occupant of the White House is still publicly downplaying the threat posed by what CNN is now officially calling a pandemic, while precautions are quietly being taken all around him. Four Republican members of Congress are now in self-quarantine after coming in contact with someone at CPAC who subsequently tested positive. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona were the first to announce, followed by Georgia Congressman and Senate candidate Doug Collins, who said he'll self-quarantine just days after joining Trump at the CDC in Atlanta. So is Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida, who mocked the coronavirus by wearing a gas mask before voting on that $8 billion aid package. But this comes after he rode on Air Force One with the president. Oh, and Donald Trump's incoming chief of staff, Mark Meadows, he appears to have been sidelined before he even begins his new job, as reports surfaced that he too may have come in contact with a carrier at CPAC. Meadows tested negative, but will still isolate himself for 2 weeks out of an abundance of caution. Although the president was also at the conference and also came into contact with many of the same people, he has neither been tested nor has he changed his behavior. Meanwhile, Italy is halting most travel and locking down the entire nation of 60 million people to contain a coronavirus outbreak that started in the northern part of the country. Israel, too, announced tough new steps to prevent a surge of infections, saying it would place everyone arriving in the country from abroad under quarantine for 14 days. Other countries also took aggressive action to protect public health, including Ireland, who canceled all St. Patrick's Day parades and festivals. Now, about that visit by Donald Trump to the CDC on Friday, yikes. Not only did he not quell concerns, he did as he always does. He lied. Trump completely misstated the availability of coronavirus testing.
I think, importantly, anybody right now and yesterday, anybody that needs a test gets a test. They're there. They have the tests. And the tests are beautiful. Anybody that needs a test gets a test. If there's a doctor that wants to test, if there's somebody coming off a ship, like the big monster ship that's out there right now, which, you know, again, that's a big decision. Do I want to bring all those people on? People would like me to do that. I don't like the idea of doing it. But anybody that needs a test can have a test.
Bullshit.
They're all set. They have them out there. In addition to that, they're making millions of more as we speak. But as of right now and yesterday, anybody that needs a test, that's the important thing. And the tests are all perfect. Like the letter was perfect. The transcription was perfect, right? This was not as perfect as that, but pretty good.
Yes, he did just screw up comparing the tests to his phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky. That's what he meant when he talked about the letter. He was talking about the phone call. Oh my God. I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. He then deemed himself a natural expert in epidemiology.
And I like this stuff. You know, my uncle was a great person. He was at MIT. He taught at MIT for, I think, like a record number of years. He was a great super genius, Dr. John Trump. I like this stuff. I really get it. People are surprised that I understand it. Every one of these doctors said, how do you know so much about this? Maybe I have a natural ability. Maybe I should have done that instead of running for president.
Oy. And he attacked political adversaries instead of relaying words of caution and advice that some officials have advocated. Many point to Trump's Friday appearance as one of the chief causes of Monday's massive stock market fall. At the opening bell on Tuesday, stocks rebounded, surging 800 points. We'll see how the day progresses. In other news, it is Mini Tuesday, with 352 delegates up for grabs, as Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, and Washington State go to the polls. The Reverend Jesse Jackson formally endorsed Bernie Sanders' campaign this weekend as Kamala Harris and Cory Booker both came out for Joe Biden. The big prize this Tuesday is Michigan, which Sanders must win decisively to stay viable. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. While you're there, please click on that donate button.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Carlap on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, new theme music from our pal Lauren Mayer, who's got a new Patreon fundraiser going on at patreon.com/Lauren Mayer. Speaking of fundraisers, we need to talk, but we'll get to that in a bit. It's Tuesday, which means time for Gotta Laugh. Let's get her on the line. Hello.
Yes, you've reached the Things Trump Would Never Say hotline.
Oh, okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump would never say that anybody who wants a coronavirus test can get a test. Oh, wait. He said that.
He did.
Press 2 if you think Trump would never say that some people infected with the coronavirus go to work and get better. Wait, he said that too.
He said that, yeah.
Press 3 if you think the CDC should put Trump's mouth under quarantine.
Well, duh.
Have a nice...
But he keeps speaking. It speaks.
Did you hear him this morning?
No,
it was horrendous.
I did not.
It was horrible. I was like all capping in my tweets. That's how bad it was. And I don't know, I'll cap that much, although lately.
What did he say this time?
Oh, let's see. I'm going to have to find my special tweet page here. Let's see if I can find my live tweeting. You say something while I'm scrolling. Okay,
well, I see somebody in the YouTube chat room just asked if I'm on Patreon. And I said I'm not. But what I was going to say is I'm asking if I should be, because over the weekend, I finally got all my stuff together to do my taxes. And holy shit. I mean, I knew that I was not in good financial shape. But I really need to do something to boost the donations to this show. I'm more concerned with putting on a show than the business end of the show. If I don't start boosting the donations, I'm going to have to find something else to do, because I'm not even covering expenses anymore. So maybe it means setting up a Patreon and doing a doing a bonus podcast or something. Now Progressive Voices has finally moved over to TuneIn. So now I'm talking to them about moving the live show to 5 o'clock. Finally, it's only taken about 5 months since we first started talking about it. But I need to do something, because I can't keep going the way we're going now. So I'm open to suggestions. The way I've been working now is, you know, on the public radio model, where, I'm not behind a paywall, because I know so many people are hurting that I don't want to preclude anyone from listening to the show because they can't afford to pay $5 a month to get the podcast. That's not how radio works. And frankly, I'm old and I grew up working in radio, so I won't do that. But I've got to find a way to boost the donations and the support of the program, or I'm not going to be able to keep going, period. So that's where I am.
Just one more thing
I'm so happy about today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I mean, like, yeah, that's a given.
Yeah.
It's so difficult. Ugh. Anyway, I started out by saying, oh, Trump's on TV lying again. It was just a press availability where he popped in and said a few things on the air and then popped off. He started out by bragging about what a great job he was doing. And there were about 600 cases in our country of the coronavirus, when in fact, at that moment, it was 791. But he said basically it was staying contained because of the great job that he was doing. So we just ought to thank him, right?
Oh, sure.
And then he started going on about different, I think I have the exact quote, but it doesn't even matter what he was saying. The part of the quote that I pulled was different numbers, very large numbers, some small numbers too. I mean, it doesn't matter what he was talking about. That's what he said. And it was stupid.
Right.
And now, then he started comparing the coronavirus to the flu. And at that point, I said, shut the fuck up.
He is a fucking idiot. And I sat there and waited for him to start yesterday to watch the thing that was supposed to start at 5:30. Then it was 6. Then it was 6:30. Whatever time he came, I listened. And then I saw him make some asinine statements and then leave the room with his fat ass, you know, walking out the door, and thought, never again. Never again.
There's no reason they should air these live.
Never, ever.
Then he said Trump, after leaving, this is from Jeff Bennett quoting him, after leaving the Senate Republican lunch, and that's why he was speaking. He said, we just had a great meeting with stimulus.
What?
Yeah, that's what he said. We just had a great meeting with stimulus. You'll be hearing about it very soon. Then he was asked why the U.S. has been slow on testing. And he said, no, the U.S. has done a very good job testing.
Right.
And then he repeats a vaguer version, this is from Daniel Dale, of his false claim that something done by the Obama administration slowed things down. Just totally gaslighting, lying about the testing, saying how they're weeks ahead of schedule. What? At that point, I, in all caps, said, media outlets, stop carrying Trump live. He's lying and Americans will believe him. Stop. And then at that point, Ellie Mistal tweeted, every time these damn Republicans or Trump cites how many people die of the flu every year, my response is, and he said this in caps, maybe we should fix our broken healthcare system so people don't die from the damn flu.
Hello.
Let's all die from coronavirus now.
And people who are otherwise intelligent people who I know, I just had to correct someone on Facebook who gave me that trope. It was like, well, I don't understand. So many more people are dying of the flu. And I said, yes. And the mortality rate is at 10 times and more than the flu from this. That's why it's so serious. This has barely scratched the surface yet.
We've only just begun.
Oh, my God. So if the mortality rate for the flu is 0.01%, some are saying it's 3.4% for the coronavirus. That's more than 10 times. I mean, that's...
Lowest number I've
right.
heard.
Oh, my God.
God. Okay, then Trump goes on. At this point, he walked off after this. He said, were you tested? He said, I feel very good. The doctor told him there was no need. And I said, oh, yeah, really? Wait about 8 to 10 days and see if you're still feeling good. Oh, he also said, oh, God, this one killed me. I'll read you my comeback on this one. He's talking about the coronavirus. It will go away.
Yeah.
Just stay calm.
Yeah.
Be calm. It really is. It's really working out. And a lot of good things are going to happen. He talks about the U.S. consumer, then walks off. And I said, it's really working out. Sick and dying patients on line one, you criminally negligent fraud.
That's right.
Going back
to how it originally spread here, the fact that they brought people off that first cruise line and sent workers from, I think it was Health and Human Services, without any protective gear to debrief them, and then took them out without any precautions afterwards, and then sent them off around the country without any cleaning, anything to go spread the contagion everywhere. That's how you spread an epidemic. The Trump administration did that single-handedly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hold them responsible.
Completely.
Let's get to tweets, because I do have a lot of them here.
All right. Well, let loose the birdies. Oh, here we go.
Welcome to my tweet.
All right, they're out.
Okay, I have a whole bunch from LOL GOP from yesterday, because he was just on a roll. But Ellie Mistal today said, I've said this since the start of this administration, but in a public health crisis, it's incredibly important, in caps, the media should not play Trump live. He lies all the time.
Yes, he
media
does.
Needs to put him on tape delay and fact check him in real time. Otherwise, they're complicit in the lies. Hello.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
There's no two ways about that.
No.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, It's just, it's the fucking media. Anyway, Elise Foley, who was on Huffington Post, this happened yesterday. They've since corrected it, they say. Yesterday, the Department of Justice demanded that immigration courts take down CDC flyers informing people about the coronavirus.
Do you believe that? Oh,
yes,
my
and
God.
And then it got media attention. So today, and this is still her tweet, DOJ told immigration courts to put them up. So the judges' union says that they seem more responsive to the media than to staff.
Oh, my God. So because the media called them out, they wound up putting it up. Staff called them out and said, you can't take this down. We need this. And they said, tough shit. But
exactly.
The media calls them out, bringing attention to it. And they're like, oh, of course we want those posters up. Ugh.
Can you believe this?
Yes, I believe
it. I mean, yes, we can't. That is exactly the problem. You're right. Yes, we can.
I'm sick. I'm just
Oh, God. Okay, so let's see. I'm not even remembering what this is. Jennifer Jacobs of Bloomberg says, and then there's a quote tweet over it. Scoop, Trump told Republican senators in private lunch, oh, yeah, I know what this is, that he wants a payroll tax holiday, quote, through the November election. He doesn't want taxes to go back up before voters decide whether to return him to office. Story out soon. So Matthew Iglesias says, one thing I've always appreciated about Trump is his subtle touch. And then he goes on to say, I want a tax cut that ends on election day, a tax break for my hotels, and a bailout for my oil company donors.
Right, of course. Right. If God! You know, how do people not see through him?
They do. They don't care. That's the problem. Everybody sees through his own followers have been interviewed saying, yeah, we know he's a liar, but we like him better than the Democrat.
Unreal.
So then Christopher Ingram of the Washington Post says, quote, federal aid for shale companies. And he's quoting Jeffrey Stein of The Washington Post, saying White House likely to push federal aid for shale companies hit by the coronavirus international energy shock. Trump confidant and oil billionaire Harold Hamm lost $2 billion yesterday.
Aww.
Hamm reached out to the administration, but says he didn't make direct contact. So so then Mark Berman of The Washington Post says, folks, it brings me no joy to tweet this. I sincerely mean that. But shale out. A bailout, shale out.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's handing out money to his buddies, his corporate buddies, who reached out to him from afar. Why? Because of social distancing? Is that why he reached out from afar? But now he's handing out money. He wants to hand out money to the shale industry.
Of course he does.
I mean, shale companies.
Right.
Oh,
right. And people
God.
Who lost their asses yesterday. I'm just sick over all this.
I can't tell you
the market now is up 9:13, so they're making back some of the losses from yesterday, which
yeah,
I don't
that's
get.
How Trump
all day
it. That's
long
why
it was down, right? And this is what he does.
Yeah, he manipulates the markets, gets himself out of trouble that way for a day. They all drop again. He throws a tantrum and gets attention for something else. That directs our attention to that something else. Then he goes back in and stimulates the market somehow so his buddies don't lose too much. It's just the same cycle, and everyone falls for it. It's amazing. Here's a chart, which you can't see, that I'll try to read. It's from Business Insider, and what it is it's the coronavirus testing per capita. This is testing per capita.
Yeah.
South Korea, this is tests per million.
Right, per million. Saw this.
3,692 in South Korea.
Right.
In China, 2,820.
This is
in
per
Italy,
million people.
826.
Yep. Right. Okay.
In Israel, 401.
Right.
In the Netherlands, 350.
Okay.
In the UK, 347. This is millions per million.
Right.
Japan, 66. And
United States is what, United five? States,
five.
Yeah. Five. Yeah. Five people per million have been tested. This is sickening. We are the United States of America. We used to be the gold standard in the world when it came to medical testing. Even though we were more expensive, at least you knew you were going to get quality here. That's not the case anymore. Now we're just more expensive and we're shitty. We're the worst. You're not going to get good care here. And, you know, why? Well, in terms of a global pandemic, Donald Trump shut down the office that is there to deal with this stuff because he's,
I don't like to pay people to sit around and do nothing.
As he pats himself on the back and says how wonderful he's doing.
I'm a businessman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we know that this is from yesterday. I have a whole bunch from yesterday, and then I have, I think, a couple more from today. But yesterday, as we all know by now, Matt Gaetz, Representative Matt Gaetz, oh, here, this just came across. Governor Baker declares state of emergency in Massachusetts now.
Great. We have one in Florida declared today as well.
Yep. And of course, we in California have had one declared for a while. Yep. Anyway, Mark Berman of The Washington Post says, to summarize the last week for Representative Gaetz. One, Wednesday, wears a gas mask on the House floor.
Because it was so funny. Because it was such a thing to make fun of. Asshole.
Two, Friday, says one of his constituents died of the virus. Three, Monday, travels with the president. Four, also Monday, says he had come into contact with a person who tested positive. And so he self-quarantined.
Uh-huh.
That's the little history of idiot Gaetz. Meanwhile, this is from today. Brandy Buckman of Courthouse News says, while a law, I'm sorry, she has a thread, so I better give you context. She's covering a hearing, I suppose. Yeah, it's a hearing. Now I've lost the tweet. Hold on. Oh, here we go. While a lawmaker coughs loudly several times during Redfield's testimony, he's rubbing his eye.
Oh.
Redfield is CDC.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I don't know, you know, Joe Biden, during the interview with Lawrence O'Donnell last night, was coughing horribly throughout the whole thing. And
yeah,
Lawrence O'Donnell made a big deal of the fact that they were airing the whole thing unedited all the way through. And I thought Biden was going to cough up a lung and pass out.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable.
Yes,
it was. O'Donnell has been interviewing and showing snippets of the interview all week. Now, to be fair,
I thought they just did it last night. They did it last night.
No, right. But previously to that, he had snippets of interviews with
Biden
all week.
Okay. Gotcha.
And it was a lot of interviews with political people talking about how Biden was going to win.
Right.
And how Bernie was going to lose and how Biden was going to win and how Bernie was going to lose and why Bernie was going to lose.
Me ask you this, because in preparation for tomorrow, because you watch Lawrence O'Donnell, I
do
a hell of a lot more than I do.
I turned it off at some point because I was so frustrated.
Right. So Lawrence O'Donnell, who is a self-described socialist, has he ever supported Bernie Sanders, who is a self-described Democratic socialist?
On Twitter, he's been putting out supportive tweets every day.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why on his show he's been, you know, really heavily promoting Biden, whether he hasn't come out and supported him. He's just promoting him a lot.
Right.
Excuse me. I've been really allergic. It went from 80 degrees to raining. So the allergies. and then online, though, he's been either quote tweeting or putting out some really positive tweets about Bernie and his agenda. So I want to give you that information, too, so that when you talk to him, you might want to ask him why he doesn't do more of that on the show.
Oh, I certainly will. Now, somebody with the screen name Pee-wee's Haunted Playhouse just posted in the YouTube chat room. Mm-hmm. He wrote, Nicole, Shark Radio Network and Bernie Socialism Bot on Twitter retweeted the news about Lawrence calling into the show tomorrow. Will be a full house. I hope his health is okay to call in tomorrow. I have no idea what that means, but I'm guessing
either.
The trolls will be out in force.
All right. Well, that's the way it's going to be.
Yep.
You know, every time I open my mouth about Bernie, I got hit with trolls.
Oh, of course. Yeah, me too.
You know, so, it doesn't even matter who I talk about. I talked about today. I did one benign tweet about Elizabeth Warren, and somebody had to pop in and say something negative.
Look, I tweeted something. It must have been last night, maybe in the middle of the night. I said something along. It was the story about Michael Bloomberg, who, despite the fact that he hired all these staffers at like $6,000 a month, he paid them ridiculous amounts of money to work on this campaign, and with the provision that they would be employed through November 3rd. Well, right. All of a sudden, they're now all being fired and told they can reapply for positions with his new independent committee. But, you know, I'm sorry, all these people were hired, told they would have jobs through November. And so I posted something snarky with, shocker there. You know, can't believe Michael Bloomberg. And of course, I got smeared with, and I said something along the lines of, we owe Elizabeth Warren a debt of gratitude for helping us dodge that Bloomberg bullet. And Definitely. Oh my God, you would have thought I said, Elizabeth Warren should be the mother of your unborn children. Because, you can't say anything nice about anybody.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Or anything mean about anybody unless somebody agrees with you.
Of course.
Right. Asha Rangappa.
Okay.
I hope I say her name right. I always feel bad
Good
about
enough.
Mispronouncing so many names, but that's okay, I guess.
Uh-huh.
She used to be an FBI special agent. Anyway, she quote tweeted over this. First, Liz Power from
somewhere
Media Matters.
Okay.
Fox anchor Ed Henry on the coronavirus deaths in Florida. Quote, this is Ed Henry.
Uh-huh.
There have been 18 cases of COVID-19. Two people sadly have died, but both of those residents were elderly and had traveled internationally. So when you hear the context, it's not quite as scary. And so Asha says, since there are a lot of old people in Florida, this seems like it would be scary for them.
You think?
God.
Oh, God.
Can you even? It's okay. They're just old people.
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm one of those old people. I'm one of the people that has to be careful. I am a senior and I don't appreciate being sloughed off like, okay, you can die. You're old.
Yeah, and I guess I'm a senior now, too. I'm now 60 years old. Frankly, I don't feel like a senior. I mean, whatever age is in the eye of the beholder or something. I don't know. But I guess, in terms of actuarial tables, I suppose I am. So I'm one of those people now. So I'm at risk too. Look, I keep hearing now's a great time to fly because the planes are empty. You can get a good fare.
No,
I know. Look, but believe me, I go back and forth. I'm going to die anyway. But if I were to come out to visit LA, but none of my friends are going to want to go out anywhere. So what's the point?
Oh, thank you. Call me Trip. Don't even ask how old I am. I won't even tell you right now. I can't stand to think about it. Anyway, Hunter DK of Daily Kos, he's quote tweeting over John Harwood. John Harwood said Trump's ex-Homeland Security advisor is pleading publicly for more urgent government action, calling COVID-19 a quote fire that threatens to burn out of control and overwhelm U.S. hospitals in 10 days. Vice President Pence just opened the White House meeting with health insurance companies by praising Trump's response. So Hunter DK says, what we're seeing here is VP and other officials being keenly aware that propping up Trump's fragile ego is their topmost job. Not even maliciously, but just because if Trump melts down, he can easily make the situation worse. Trump's unfitness drives everything else.
Right. And can I also say, I'm sorry. Look, my dog Jackson would be an improvement over Donald Trump as president.
Yes.
I got that. What just, but Joe Biden, really? This is where we're going to go? Talk about five giant steps backwards. Did you notice as the stock market has been tumbling and everything, who's been having a good day in the stock market? The health insurance industry stocks. They've been going up. Now, I don't know what happened yesterday, but they've been having a good time of it since Joe Biden became the clear front runner on the Democratic side. Go figure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, imagine that.
Yep.
All right. So here's the list of people who have self-quarantined. And then I have a little personal story because they didn't include one of them.
Okay.
This is from yesterday. Oh,
I know who one of them is. And can I jump the gun on it and say it's your neighbor, your congresswoman?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what happened.
Okay. All right.
This is actually from March 8th. So this is from 2 days ago.
Okay.
I don't know why I have it up. I guess I thought it was worth. Oh, because I just wanted to. People know the list. Here are some of the people who may have been in the green room with a CPAC infectee. Gohmert McDaniel, Romney McDaniel.
Yes. Although she doesn't use Romney anymore because Mitt, you know, oh my God, Mitt voted to have witnesses in an impeachment trial. Oh my goodness. So Romney McDaniel has dropped the Romney from her name.
Just Michael Knowles, yes. Kay James, Kellyanne Conway, Betsy DeVos. Was it DeVos?
DeVos.
I thought, yeah, I always get it mixed up. I used to know somebody named
DeVille.
Bose.
It's actually DeVille. It's Betsy DeVille, Cruella
exactly.
DeVille.
Yes. Gates and Diamond and Silk. anyway, so those were among the names
Cruella
at that time.
DeVille.
And now we know,
Cruella
you know, more. There's
DeVille.
Mark Meadows and.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I was just singing, you know, from. Yeah,
oh, sorry. Before. When I don't
the,
hear you sometimes.
The Cruella DeVille song. I just couldn't help myself.
Anyway, so my little story was that my representative lives three doors away.
Yep.
And I was walking Hamilton.
Yes.
And I, you know, the funny thing is I rarely leave the house other than to do an errand or two because I'm tweeting. You know, that's my little job is to learn things via tweet and then share them. And so I'm walking the dog and I see her across the street. I went, hey, hi. And I went over and we talked for a good 15, 20 minutes. She didn't touch me.
Good.
But then yesterday I find out she's under self-quarantine. Mm. I think I talked to her Friday
and
that she wasn't going to be, she'll be running, her business, you know, her office.
Yeah. Yes.
From home, her two offices, locally, or their one will be locally open. And then there's another one that will be open, but she will be working away from people. And I'm thinking, great. Now I have to backtrack. Did she sneeze? Did she, you know, not that she's infected, but she might be.
Yep.
But I don't think we're in trouble. We were outdoors.
Yep.
And we were a good 3 feet away, if not more, because Hammy kept pulling me all over the place. Although Hammy did jump on her, so he's infected.
Oh,
anyway.
God. Oh, God.
Kidding. He's not.
No.
He's a good boy. Anyway, here's one from Lalo Alcaraz, who...
Uh-huh. Cartoonist.
La Cucaracha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Donald J. Trump tweeted, "Good for the consumer. Gasoline prices coming down." And Lalo tweets, "Good for the planet. You're coming down." That was when the stock market was crashing,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, by the way, it's up 1,045.
Yeah, it sure is. Good job, Trumpy.
Yeah.
let's see. What's this? Oh, yeah, Michelle Cinder. She tweeted, "Trump told aides he's afraid journalists will try to purposely contract the coronavirus to give it to him on Air Force One and has asked the Secret Service to bar anyone who has a cough from the White House grounds."
God.
That's per Vanity Fair. But he won't cancel his rallies. He goes on rope lines.
Yep. And shakes hands.
Yep.
And what's so weird is he's like the biggest germaphobe ever. So there's such a discount. He's just an idiot. That's what it is. He's just a fucking moron.
And that he thinks journalists are going to purposely.
Right. Get sick. Right. Just to infect
him. Yeah. I
want to
expose myself to a lethal disease just to go on the airplane with you guys. I mean, what a sick mind.
Yeah, he really is. He just really is.
Okay,
demented.
Here comes the LOL GOP quadruple tweets that I have here. Because he's so good.
Yep.
We love him. So over the CBS News has confirmed that visitors to the White House must now disclose on their security forms the countries they visited in the previous 30-day period. LOL GOP says, "How about a Mar-a-Lago where the membership and visitor list are private
really?
And all someone with coronavirus needs to get inside is a $200,000 membership fee?"
That's a good point. That's worthy of a ding. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good ding. Yeah, that was a good loud ding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then he tweets, "I hope everyone remembers that the reason Trump feels comfortable golfing when we're more than 29 million tests short of the 30 million COVID-19 tests we need is because Senate Republicans told him that they'll let him get away with anything except for Mitt." Although now Mitt's on board, too, with the
of course he is.
Burisma.
Yes. Yeah. Now Mitt's on board because, you know, he wants Rana to use his name again, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So LOL GOP says, hopefully this doesn't happen, but this is why you should swipe the N95 mask off anyone who says, "But what about the flu?" And here's what he's quoting. "American Hospital Association best guest epidemiology for COVID-19 over the next 2 months. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is versus flu.
Yeah.
This is first COVID-19.
Yep.
96 million infections.
Yeah.
4,800,000 hospitalizations. Uh-huh. 1,900,000 ICU admissions. Mm. 480,000 deaths versus the flu in 2019.
Yeah.
35,500,000 infections. 496,000 hospitalizations. 49,000 ICU admissions. 34,200 deaths. So the deaths. 480,000 deaths for COVID-19 versus 34,200
again,
deaths
more than 10 times the amount, which is what the mortality rate tells us it's going to be. More than 10 times the amount.
Yep.
Yeah.
If only I could spit those words out. It would have been much more effective.
Yeah. It's okay.
Okay. So yeah. This is such a good comeback. First, I'll read the news item. This is from somebody with she's an Israel and Palestine reporter saying, breaking, Netanyahu plans to mobilize children who, quote, thank God, unquote, are not affected by coronavirus to disinfect Israeli railway stations, bus stations,
God,
and other public installations in Israel with bleach.
He's putting little kids to work.
Right, not making this up. So then LOL GOP says, hey, Newt Gingrich, if this gives you an erection that lasts more than 6 hours, please go to an ER.
I had a little erectile dysfunction there.
And I'm going to end my last one. Okay. Is good news.
Yeah. Okay. We could use some good news.
Nothing to do with the virus.
Okay.
Dick's Sporting Goods will stop selling guns at 440 more stores.
Yay.
That is good news.
That is good news. That is
that's
very
pro-life.
Good news. Yep. That's very, very good. That's good.
We need a little upbeat.
Now, all
end.
Guns are just assault weapons, because I know after the Parkland shooting down here, they stopped selling AR-15s and those, but I think they still sold like handguns and things like that.
Well, let's see. I'll read it again. I just undid it. Oh, here. Four. It just says stop selling guns. Let
good.
Me see if
okay.
I,
well, I hope that's true.
Let's see if I can find. Here's the article. Yeah, it says stop selling guns.
Good.
I'm looking
okay.
at the article on CNN.
That would be awesome. That's very good. Cool. Kiel, man.
Kiel.
All right. So,
yeah.
Again, one last final plea. I'm dreading watching the TV tonight, but we have Idaho. There's a great song by the Bodines called Idaho. There's Michigan, Mississippi. Great Bob Dylan song called Mississippi. Missouri, North Dakota. Great Lyle Lovett song called North Dakota. And Washington. I don't know that there's a great Washington state song. But anyway, just, you know, off the top of my head, all those states are voting today. Please come out and vote for Bernie Sanders. Don't saddle us with Joe Biden. Please, please, please.
Yeah, unfortunately, every time I read somebody who counts these things, they say even if he does win, it won't be by a big enough margin. That's, you know, so yeah, okay. And then the Dow just closed up more than 1,100 points.
Yeah. Ugh, fuck. Okay. I'm sorry. If you have money in the stock market, I'm happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've been saying, when you got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You know, yeah, got nothing to lose. Oh, well. And on that note, I'm just hoping for a better outcome tonight. I fear after tonight it's going to be, you know, we're going to be left with a choice between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and
I have the same fear.
And that just sucks out loud. Of course I'll vote, you know, I'd vote for this chair over Donald Trump. I'd vote for a rock over Donald Trump. I'd happily vote for my dog Jackson over Donald Trump. If I have to vote for Joe Biden, I will, but this will set us back light years. This is a step in the wrong direction. This is giving the Never Trumpers and the Republicans what they want. It's Republican rule yet again. It's giving them what they want, and it would suck, just suck out loud. And again, I you know, maybe it's time to just rethink everything I do. I don't know. Maybe I do get on a plane and just fly off to nowhere. I don't know.
Well, bring food.
I guess if I go nowhere, I'll need food to, yeah, you know, for the, I don't even know, for the.
Well, if you get bored.
Music. I'll bring music.
When you're bored.
Music. But I don't know where the, for, you know, I need a plane. I wish I could find an island somewhere. I said this years ago. I wanted to find an island nation somewhere and just take a group of people who I want to bring with me and start over. And yes, it is time for a progressive party. Bosifus, Daltrum, if this happens tonight, we'll have an interesting conversation later in the week. Progressive party, here we come.
Good luck with Lawrence.
Oh, yes. Tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern, live right here. Lawrence O'Donnell. Should be fun. Be here or be square. Hey.
No, it's be there or be square.
I know, but it's, you got to be here. So,
well, I can say it. Be there or be square.
Thank you. All right.
You're welcome.
I'll see you tomorrow. And vote. Please vote.
Vote.
Please vote.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye.